Bibles, open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to start with verse 11. Wow. Yeah, it is quite warm in here, isn't it? Woo. All right. And it says these words, "For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit," or is that Spirit, according to King James, "and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." The Holy Spirit put a message on my heart today to share with you that I believe it will change your life, not only from a spiritual perspective, but I think it'll change it also in from an emotional perspective. Because this topic I'm going to talk about, a lot of Christians see it in a way that brings them down instead of uplifting them, all right? Many Christians are walking around with a heaviness, with a depression and condemnation in their spiritual life because they're not interpreting or viewing this subject I'm going to talk about today from God's perspective. Now, the Word of God is very clear that when a person makes Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of their life, there is a lot, come on, say a lot, of cleaning up and changes that need to be made on the inside of us. Wouldn't it be great once we were born again that everything's done? It just, everything's downloaded from heaven, you know, the hard drive gets changed immediately, right? But there's something that needs to be done, amen? And the title of my message today is simply this, From Glory to Glory. From glory to glory. We are being changed from glory to glory. We cannot remain the same person that we were before coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to make changes, and that's part of being a disciple. We have to make changes in our life. We cannot remain the same. Our obedience to the Word of God, our obedience to the Holy Spirit proves our love for God, does it not? Jesus said these words. He said, "If you love me, keep my commands." Pretty simple stuff, isn't it? Jesus has so you can say it this way, and it popped in my head like this when I was writing this message. Jesus has an expectation for us as Christians to be obedient to the Word of God. Jesus has expectations for us. I don't know why, but just that little point just exploded in my spirit. Wow, there's expectations, right? So it's not an option, it's a requirement, all right? So the most important thing that we can do as a Christian, the number one, if you came to me and said, "What's the most important thing for me to do as a Christian?" This is what I would tell you. The most important thing is to get the Word of God in your heart. Constantly feed on the Word of God. Read it, listen to it, meditate on it. Fill your heart with the Word, because everything we do on this earth in our Christian walk is the very foundation of that is the Word of God. Amen? In fact, when I first got born again, the first thing that really got illuminated in my spirit is the importance of the Bible. That it's not just a religious book. No. It's the Word of God. So that's what really jumped out to me when I first got born again. And if that didn't happen to you, I hope that happens while you're attending this church and you find that out. Amen? So there needs to be evidence that we are followers or disciples of Jesus. And that evidence comes from the changes that we make in our life. throwing off the worldly, throwing off the fleshly, throwing off the devilish junk in our life. Now, if God is your heavenly Father, as time goes by, you should have a desire to be like your heavenly Father. Right? Like father, like son. Like father, like daughter. Come on, somebody. Right? And that's why God says, be holy, for I am holy. Now, remember I talked about last week that be holy, for I am holy. That's covenant language. He says, I'm holy toward you, so you be holy toward me. It's a two-way street. Covenant, right? You have a God has a job, you have a job. And so he says, hey, you got to be holy because I am. It's a two-way street. We both got to do this thing together. So if you're a Christian, change needs to be a positive word in your vocabulary and not a negative word. Embrace it. Look forward to it. And make the needed changes in your life so you can go from glory to glory. Amen? So today I want to talk about this. This is what trips up many Christians. And in this process, listen to me, this is where many Christians bail out of the Christian walk. And it's this. I want to talk about the pruning process in the life of a Christian. What is God's perspective of the pruning process? And how are we to view it as his children, right? And how many of you know, we are all going, if you're a Christian, we are all going through the pruning process in this life. And how we view that process, how we handle that process is very important. Many Christians' attitude toward the pruning process, say pruning process, it's totally wrong. If you have the wrong attitude and the wrong perspective toward the pruning process, you will end up feeling, here's what happened, this I see it all the time in Christians, you'll end up feeling bitter, you'll feel overwhelmed, you'll feel unloved by God, you'll feel condemned in your walk with the Lord. All right? But God doesn't want us to get bitter. He wants us to get what? Better. Amen. So listen to this. You know, there's unbelievers that say, well, let me clean my life up, then I'll come to church. I'll make Jesus Lord of my life. But listen to this. The pruning process proves that an unbeliever doesn't have to clean up their life before coming to Jesus. Are you following me? Because it happens after they get born again. They need the Holy Spirit in them to help them with that pruning process. So next time an unbeliever says that lie to you, say, no, that's a bunch of trash what you're telling me right now. You need to come to Jesus. Let him clean you up. Amen? All right, then you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to make changes on your own with help of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So now I see an interesting progression in the book of John, the Gospel of John, specifically in chapters 14 through 17, all right? 14 through 17 is very interesting. In John chapter 14, Jesus talks about manifesting or revealing himself to believers if we keep his commands, all right? And then he talks about the Holy Spirit teaching us and being our helper on this earth, all right? And then after that, he shifts it to talking about giving us peace, all right? How many of you need peace today? Oh, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, amen? And then he goes on to talk about something very important in the life of a Christian. It seems like that Jesus is setting the stage for something. Say setting the stage. You know, everything Jesus said had purpose behind it. He didn't just throw something out there just for nothing. No, everything he said had purpose, and it was building up to something. So that's why I say I believe that Jesus was setting the stage to reveal something. Go to John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And this is Jesus speaking here. And he said, I am the true vine, and my father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he, here it is, underline it, prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, the pruning process from a spiritual perspective, is very similar to the process in the natural with a tree or with a plant. Anybody ever pruned a plant before or a tree? Yeah? All right. Well, let's talk about it. Listen to this. If a tree has a branch that's connected to it, that's dying or that's dead, it's doing one of two things. It's either not producing good fruit or it's not producing any fruit at all, right? If that branch is dying and not bearing good fruit, listen to this. That branch is still taking some of the nutrients. Listen to me right here and get a revelation. It's taking some of that nutrients that should be going to the good branches that are bearing good fruit. Come on, somebody. If the branch is dead, it's blocking or taking up a space where a new branch could grow, where good fruit could grow on that tree. And both of those circumstances are negative to a plant or a tree. So a person, what do? A person takes a saw or they take a chainsaw and they cut off the unprofitable, say unprofitable, the unprofitable branches off to help that tree, catch this revelation, become profitable and a blessing to its owner. So here's what you got to understand in the pruning process. Are you ready for this? Get a picture of this now. Taking something negative away in your life, are you ready? Is a blessing. See, many people just think it's a blessing to gain. Sometimes it's a blessing to lose. Especially if it's a dying or a dead branch in your life. Are you following me? A plant or a tree cannot and will not be or remain healthy without pruning. So you could say it this way then, pruning is a necessity. You think Jesus knew what he was talking about when he was talking about the pruning process in the life of a Christian? You bet he was. Amen? Isn't it interesting how you can always take something in the natural and do a spiritual comparison with it? Isn't that awesome? You want to know why that is? Because everything in the natural came from a spiritual root. Isn't that interesting? So this is exactly what Jesus is telling his disciples. He is telling us the importance of pruning in our life. Things that are not bearing good fruit or things that are not bearing fruit at all. Now, so let's apply this to our spiritual life. It is impossible for you and I to have a healthy spiritual life and life in general without the pruning process taking place. Now, remember I told you, the pruning process, this is where a lot of Christians go, see ya, bye. God, it was fun for a while, but then I started to get a little uncomfortable when God says, I'm trying to help. I'm trying to make your life better. Come on, somebody. Many Christians perceive that pruning process as God being angry at them, follow me, and that he looks forward to harming them in their life or, you know, taking things away. God's mean. He's taking things away. No. Listen, I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. But that is not the heart of our Heavenly Father. Amen? That is not the heart of the God of the Bible. That is your flesh feeling that way. Repeat after me. That is my flesh feeling that way. Say, I am believing a lie because my Heavenly Father is good and he has blessing for me. Come on, you got to let that soak deep into your heart. Amen. If you are a Christian, you are his child. Our Heavenly Father is not, like I say many times from this pulpit, our Heavenly Father is not a child abuser. Everything the Holy Spirit is doing and will ever do in our life is for our benefit. Did you know that? Everything. It's for our benefit and it's for our protection. Man, he's good. Why would we question God's goodness? Don't question the goodness of God. That's why Jesus said in John 10:10, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief is trying to take the good things out of your life. Are you following me? So you might not feel that God is good. Okay, a lot of Christians don't feel God is good going through the pruning process. They don't feel that they're protecting him. You might not feel that way, but that's when, listen to me, that's when your faith and trust in God needs to override, say override, your fleshly emotions and feelings, all right? The Holy Spirit is doing everything he can do. Listen, the moment the Holy Spirit took up residence in your heart, he's doing everything that he can do to make you aware of the things that are detrimental in your life. Things that are trying to take you down. Things that are trying to lessen your relationship with God. The dead branches, the dying branches. Amen? Now, so the Holy Spirit has been illuminating to me how the pruning process is the love of our Heavenly Father in action. Okay? It's a glorious thing that the Holy Spirit is revealing dead and dying branches in our life. Those dead and dying branches in our life, they're blocking the glory of God from being reflected in your life, through your life. Think about that now. Years ago, I was counseling a person, and they were sharing with me how they were feeling defeated in their life and in their Christian walk. And they were feeling defeated because of this specific reason, because things were being revealed to them, negative things in their life. And they interpreted that as a negative thing. And they were feeling defeated. That person I was talking to, they loved the Lord. They desired a deeper relationship with him. They were pressing in, but they still felt that way. And during that counseling session, the Holy Spirit spoke something very, very important to me that he wanted me to pass on to that person. The Holy Spirit spoke this. This is not negative. This is a glorious work. This is not negative. This is a glorious work. But that person, again, was interpreting it and perceiving it as being negative. Now remember, how you perceive is what you're going to believe. Oh, you got to be careful how you perceive something. Amen? When I told the person what the Holy Spirit spoke to me, it's like I flipped a switch on them and they lit up like a lamp. It became a revelation on the inside of them. And the presence of God started flooding the office where I was in, and we just started praising to God together. We just started praising God, and there was a flood. But just that word, that rhema word from the Holy Spirit, shifted the entire perspective about that process. So we as Christians need to know and rejoice that everything our Heavenly Father does is for our profit and not to harm us. Amen? How many of you ever heard about that verse where God gives and God takes away? How many of you heard that? Come on, be honest. You heard that from a negative perspective. I have all my life. God gives and takes away. So what happens? If you don't know any different, you're walking through life. God gives and takes away. You're walking through life in fear. You're walking in life through anxiety. What's God going to take away from me now? Oh, listen to me. Listen to me now. Many Christians use that in a negative sense, blaming God for Satan's work. But that's not what it means. This is so simple, but it went off like a lightning in me. Listen, it means that God gives good things to us, and he takes away the bad and destructive things. Come on, somebody. Is that not like Satan to take a scripture and twist it, to throw in God's face, to try to get you to view God as some evil? Oh, going to come down. Boy, he's going to put the hammer on. Who's he going to take now? What loved one is he going to take? No. Calm down. God is a good God. Are you following me? So let me say it one more time and let it get deep into your subconscious. Here we go. It means that God gives good things to us, and he takes away the bad and destructive things out of our life. God does not take away good and healthy things out of our life. Let me say it again. God does not take away good and healthy things out of our life. Amen? Because listen to me. James 1:17 says this. Every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now, what does that mean? No variation or shadow of turning. You know, this is a phrase here where God is trying to tell us this, that we never have to question God's motive or goodness in our life. Are you following me? There's no variation. There's no variation. In fact, how could you even have faith for something? You can't have faith for something unless you know the will of God about something. Are you following me? Because faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know the will of God on a situation, the best you got is hope. Are you following me? Faith begins where the will of God is known. All right? So there's no variation or shadow of turning. Again, that means that we never have to question God's goodness or his motives in our life. Man, that's comforting to me. That's absolutely. That means this, that God is for you. He's not against you. He's cheering you on like any good parent would to their children. Isn't that something? Like any good parent would do with their children. If you don't have that spiritual perspective, again, let me say it one more time, you will live a life of anxiety, a life of fear, feeling defeated. You'll feel hopelessness in your life, and you'll live a life that views God as an abusive parent and a cruel and unloving judge. And friend, I'm telling you right now, that has Satan's fingerprints all over it. God does. Now, here we go. So, the pruning process. God expects us, when he reveals something to us in our life personally, he expects us to cut off those dead and dying branches in our life when the Holy Spirit reveals them to us. The Holy Spirit just doesn't reveal something for no reason. The Holy Spirit's just not revealing something to you because he says, yeah, I'm a little bored here, you know. Not much going on in China right now to deal with, or Australia. I thought I'd pop in and just kind of reveal. Are you following me? There's purpose behind everything the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal. And in the grace of God is this. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to reveal those branches, to reveal those things, and to help us cut them off in our life. Remember, the Holy Spirit is called the helper, not the doer. We're the doers of the word. He's the helper. So we need to start doing, and then he helps. He has nothing to help if we're not doing anything. You following me? He won't do it for you, but he will help you in the process once you get started with it. He just needs your humility, and he needs your willingness where you say, God, whatever you reveal to me that is not in your plan for my life, if there's something in me that I'm giving place to that shouldn't, God, speak to me and help me get rid of this thing. Amen? See, we wouldn't be, you got to understand something. We wouldn't be able to see those dead and dying branches in our life without the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay? God is trying to take us. He's trying to change us. He's trying to transform us. Come on, from glory to glory. And that's not always a comfortable process, but it is indeed, come on, a glorious process. Go to Jeremiah 18:4. This is a passage that I talked about a couple times in the past, and it's a powerful passage. In fact, this is one of the passages right after I got born again. It was like everything changed. I mean, it was like a switch went on. My life changed. Everything that was, I mean, so much changed immediately. And I had a desire. I couldn't stop reading the Word of God. There was such a hunger and a desire. I'd stay up all through the night sometimes just reading the Word, such a hunger. And I finally, I said, Holy Spirit, what is going on with me? And the Holy Spirit spoke this, Jeremiah 18:4. This is what he spoke to me. He said, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. The pruning process is simply this. God is trying to reshape you into exactly who he created you to be. When sin entered the picture on this earth, it marred us. It distorted mankind. But those that make Jesus Christ Lord of their life, they are clay in the hands of the Master. Amen? He is reshaping us into something beautiful in our sight, or in his sight. Clay, think about this. For you to reshape clay, it needs to be pliable. What do you got to put on clay for it to be pliable? Water. We need to, and the Holy Spirit said this, that's why we need to keep our heart filled with the Word of God, because it makes it pliable. It's the water of the Word coming upon our heart. It takes the hard places, and it allows the Holy Spirit. You're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with on the inside of you, and eventually the Holy Spirit works and works, and finally it starts to become pliable, and you start to see this thing in your life that, wow, Lord, I'm so sorry I've been doing this. I haven't even noticed it. And it makes, and so that's why getting the Word of God in your heart, meditating on the Word, it positions you to be remolded by the hands of the potter. So you got to understand this. God is very patient with us. Does God have to be patient with you too? I know he does with me. God is very patient with us. Listen, let me just comfort you guys with some words on this process of pruning. God knows it's a process. Say process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process, all right? In fact, guess what? You're not going to be perfect even up until the day you die. So God knows this thing's a process. He knows that your mind won't be renewed in one day. Hello, somebody, right? He knows that every bad and unprofitable branch in your life, it will not be cut off in one day. Come on, let's be realistic about it. So that's why I say God is very, very patient with us, right? That's why, you know, if you see someone in a sin or something like that, that's why you can't say, oh, well, they're not a Christian, they're not a believer. Don't talk so soon. Remember all the junk in your own life that you had to deal with. Come on, somebody. That's why Jesus said, hey, get the plank out of your own eye before you start dealing with a little speck in someone else's eye. Amen? Let pastor deal with the specks. Oh, just kidding. Hey, even pastors have planks that need to be pulled out. Amen? Listen, so it's a process. It's a process. And so this process is not going to happen overnight. And guess what? You ready for this, all you perfectionists? You shouldn't expect that either. See, that's what it is. It's people thinking that, that's why they fall into this guilt and condemnation, and you know, because they think, oh, man, I messed up. Calm down. Just relax. God's patient with you. Amen? So he'll, listen to this. He will reveal one branch at a time, and then we cut it off. He reveals another branch, deal with it, cut it off. Some time passes, and we think, woo, I'm in the clear, baby. Thank you. I'm perfect now. God reveals another branch. Cut it off. Are you following me? Here's what's going to happen. Let me just let you in on a little secret. You're going to find branches until you take your last breath on this earth. The key is this. Are you ready for this? Progress. Every day you're making an effort to be closer to your Heavenly Father. Every day you're trying to be holier than you were the day before. Come on, somebody. Amen? Every day it's a step-by-step thing. So listen to this. In John 14, Jesus talks about the work of the Holy Spirit and about Jesus giving us peace, and the Holy Spirit really giving us peace. In John 15, Jesus talks about the pruning process and for us to abide or remain in him, to stay connected to Jesus, right? Abide in him. He's the only true vine. That must mean there's false vines that have no nutrients, that aren't good for your life. Jesus is the true vine. Amen? So he talks about staying connected to him. And then he talks about persecution for the sake of the gospel. In John 16:1, Jesus said something very interesting. So I just showed you in this message so far the progression from John 14, and now we make our way to John 16. Listen to what Jesus says in John 16:1, which really caught my attention. He says this, "These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made," come on, "to stumble." "These things I have spoken to you," what things? Things, more than one. "These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble." So Jesus in 14 all the way up to 16 is showing us some things. He's saying, look, if you do this, if you're aware of this, you're not going to stumble. Remember how he said some Christians, they leave the church. They leave their walk with the Lord because of certain things. I believe, listen to me, I believe that Jesus is encouraging us as his followers not to get discouraged during the process of the two things that we can expect to happen that he mentions in John 15. You want to know what those two things are? These are the two things that totally causes people to forsake Christ and backslide. It's very simple. Number one, the pruning process, like I said. And the second thing is persecution they will face as a Christian on this earth. Those are the two things. Jesus says, John 14 through 15, I'm trying to prepare you for the processes of two things that are going to come against you, that's going to be working in your life. And if you don't have the right perspective, you're going to forsake me. Disciples, are you listening? Can you see Jesus sitting around a campfire and telling them this? Think about this. And the two things are this, two things that they will not be able to perceive or understand correctly if they weren't listening to Jesus: the pruning process in their life, and number two, the persecution as a Christian. Anybody been persecuted for their faith? Right? I mean, sometimes persecution has made people go, okay, well, I'm going to back away from this. I didn't sign up for this. I thought everything was just lollipops and, lemonade. But Jesus said, no, if you're going to live for me on this earth, if you're going to be holy, you're going to have persecution. Are you following me? So, Jesus knew, again, that if we have the wrong perspective on those two things, the pruning process and persecution, he knew this too, that the enemy would use these two things to get an upper hand in the thought life of Christians. Come on. Because they would have a wrong perspective and understanding of these things. So in John 16, Jesus continues talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. And then in John 17, the whole purpose of what Jesus is talking about in John 14, 15, and 16 are summed up in verse 17. Do you want to know what the majority of what chapter 17 is talking about? Are you ready for this? That there will be corporate unity in the body of Christ. Jesus even prays that there would be corporate unity among believers, that every Christian would be on the same page in unity of mind and purpose to advance the kingdom of God. You got to remember, not only Jesus was viewing, he wasn't viewing this whole pruning process, follow me now, the whole pruning process is not just for us personally. It's for us corporately as a body. We are the body of Christ. A body is made up of different organs. Are you following me? Every organ needs to function properly for this body to perform properly. What happens if the liver says, good night? What happens if the kidneys say, I'm done? No. What if the eyeball said, I'm done seeing? The pruning process is not only for your benefit personally, it's for the entire body of Christ. So we would function in unity. Say unity. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? Now let's talk for a moment. I talked about this before, but I felt like I needed to bring it into this message as well. About the word condemn or condemnation. I see new faces, so this is good that I'm going to bring this up. Usually when we think of the words condemn or condemnation, what's the first thing that pops into your mind? Hell. Does it? Right? Oh, condemnation. Okay. Yeah. Hell, eternal damnation, separation from God. Now, those both are valid biblical points, but I want to bring to light another angle of the words condemn and condemnation that will help you understand the pruning process a little bit better, all right? So listen to this. The word condemnation or condemn means this, a guilty verdict to judge against or a punishment. But here's the one definition that is really connected to the pruning process. Say pruning process. Ready for this? Here it is. To officially declare something to be unfit for use. Oh, let me say it again. Say pruning process. Listen to this. Condemn. To officially declare something to be unfit for use. An example of something that's condemned, obviously, is a building. And what does that mean? It means when a building gets a paper slapped on it that says you're condemned, it means that that building is no longer good or profitable for use. Amen? It's not able. Really what it means, it's not able, safe, or capable to fulfill the purpose for which it was made and originally designed for. It's condemned. What happened? How did it get that way? How does a building get that way? Ready for this? No maintenance. No pruning of the unprofitable things in that building. Just letting things go. Say no maintenance. Oh, we need to do maintenance on ourselves every day. Amen? Now watch how this ties into our life as Christians and humans in general. Go to John 3. John chapter 3. John 3. From glory to glory. We're going from glory to glory. Amen? No other way but from glory to glory. God is good. He has nothing but good in his heart for you. Get that in your mind right now. Everything God does in your life is because he's good. And if something doesn't fit within that, it's not God. Hello. I didn't say it. Jesus did. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? Look at this. John 3:16 through 19. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all know that one, but let's carry it on a little bit farther, shall we? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So this makes it very clear out of this very, world popular scripture here, right? God did not send his Son Jesus Christ into the world for the purpose to condemn the world, right? No, he came to reverse that. so that we would not be condemned. Amen? He sent Jesus so that original plan, listen, that original plan and purpose and intent of God for creating us in the first place would be fulfilled in us when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Come on. That's what makes us fit for the kingdom of God, is making Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. Amen? So he who believes in Jesus Christ is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Now, that, of course, is talking about, how many of you know, if someone doesn't make Jesus Christ Lord of their life, right? Jesus paid for their sin, but if they don't accept him by faith, they're paying their own penalty. And the only place for them to go is to hell. And eventually hell gets thrown into the lake of fire. So God doesn't send anybody to hell. The person chooses it. And they just don't know it. Think about that. It's what, I mean, wow. That they live their whole life. They live their whole life. And that pardon was there the whole time. Think about that. Now, think about that. I mean, that's like that's like you being on death row. And you get a call from President Trump that says, hey, I want to pardon you. And you saying, no thanks. I'd rather die. Hello. Now, some liberals would probably do that, but we're not talking about those demonic-filled people. I'm talking about rational people. Are you following me? I mean, let's face it, Trump could find the cure for cancer and they'd blame him for people losing jobs, you know? Give me a break. Anyways, I'm almost done. Stick with me here. But listen to this. In the life of a Christian, a lack of faith toward God, I'm talking to Christians in condemnation, the connection between condemnation and Christians now, a lack of faith toward God and his written word will produce a uselessness or a failure to operate in your God-given purpose. And in that sense, when you lack faith, you're condemning yourself. You're putting a paper on yourself that says, I'm not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I didn't say you're going to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about it like a condemned building. It's no longer useful. If you want to be useful for God, you want to get that condemnation sign off of you, you got to walk in faith. You got to believe God. You got to trust God. Because according to Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Listen to this. Are you ready for this? Write this down. Put it in your thoughts and don't ever let it go. Everything in connection to God and his kingdom revolves around faith. Everything. Well, what if you don't have faith for something? Does that mean God doesn't love you? No! Get on! Listen, now you got to... I'm not saying God loves everyone. God loves the person that's going to hell right now that's taking their last breath. I'm not talking about the love of God. I'm talking about being useful for the kingdom of God. I'm talking about you fulfilling your God-given purpose. And if you're going to do that, you need to stay in faith toward the word of God and faith toward God himself. Faith in God's word is faith in God. Hello. Amen. Are you guys with me this morning? Yes. Now, our covenant, as I talked about last week, our covenant with God is activated and maintained by faith. Faith is not an option, it's a requirement. Listen to me, you've got to always believe that God is good. You've got to always believe that he will never turn. You always got to believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he doesn't turn, he'll never turn, he'll never change his mind, he'll never change his mind on the good motives that he has toward you and I. So remember that condemned building illustration. The purpose of that building cannot be fulfilled. It cannot carry out the purpose for which it was created for in the first place. Again, without Jesus Christ as Lord, listen to me. Listen to me real close here. Ready? Without Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, in every area of your life, your God-given purpose will never be fulfilled on this earth. You can follow him in 99 places, but listen to me, it's that one place that's going to trip you up and you're not going to truly fulfill your God-given purpose fully. Think about that. The Holy Spirit illuminated that to me so clear that we can be doing good in these areas, but we let this little fox over here run amok. But guess what? It's that little muck that's causing you from truly entering in to your God-given purpose and potential on this earth. So get your eyes on the little foxes. Deal with the little foxes. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't like dealing with that. It's too hard to deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it. There's a saying in deliverance and emotional healing. Deal with your junk before your junk deals with you. Deal with your junk before your junk deals with you. Amen? All right. So even in the pruning process, you can maintain a positive attitude, knowing that your faith in Jesus Christ qualifies you to be a partaker of God's plan and purpose in your life. Again, don't ever forget it. The Holy Spirit is focused on helping you fulfill your purpose, not just you personally, but as a corporate body. Now, can you see why the enemy tries to stir up division within a corporate body so much? Because Jesus even prayed for it. He prayed, Father, please let them be in unity. Why would Jesus pray so hard for that thing? Because he knew how big of a challenge it would be. Because he knows the stinkiness of us people. Are you following me? He knows our flesh can be horrible. He knows how self-centered we all can be, right? How many of you know if we're going to be in unity with people, it takes a looking outside of yourself. Amen? We got to look upon others as well. All right? So go to John 15, 4 and 5, getting close to being done here. John 15, verses 4 through 5. And it says, Jesus said this, abide in me and I in you. Ew, that's covenant language. You abide in me, I abide in you. You do your part, I do my part. Hello. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Jesus needs to be entangled in everything we do, every decision we make. Apart from Jesus Christ being at the very center of your life, we will not bear good fruit. Our life, listen to me, here's what will happen. Your life will be full of dead and dying branches. And God's plan and destiny in your life will truly not be fulfilled. So throw away all the negative thoughts and emotions. When the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about a sin, when he's dealing with you about an issue in your life, simply take one dead and dying branch at a time, deal with it, cut it off. Make every effort you can. You know, I found this out. God rewards effort. God rewards your effort. Amen? Draw an eye to me and I'll draw an eye to you. He rewards effort. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, you're going to get it. Seek, you're going to find. Knock, the door's going to be open. Those are invitations that he said, look, if you'll just put the effort in, I'm going to respond. Isn't that good to know? It's like so common, so generous. Really, think about that. It's so wow, God has given us keys in his word. All we got to do is act on it. Isn't it just crazy? Go with me to Acts I'm sorry, not Acts. Romans 8. Romans 8. Yeah, this is a 9.5 pager today. Hey, look, I was in the house for half of the week. Well, I had nothing else to do but to write a long sermon. So you guys are getting the brunt of it, okay? So Romans 8, 1 through 5. There is therefore, look at this, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there is condemnation if you walk in the flesh. What does that mean? It means you're saying I am unfit for the kingdom of God if I walk in the flesh. Isn't that something? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Notice, you know what your responsibility is? You got to walk in the Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit. God, the Holy Ghost isn't going to do it for you. You got to do it. You be the doer. The Holy Spirit helps. Say that with me. Say, I got to be the doer. Then the Holy Spirit helps. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh. He's giving us a key right now. How do we walk in the Spirit? How do I avoid the flesh, living in the flesh? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds, their thought life, their heart on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. Set your mind on things above, not on the earth beneath. How do you do it? It starts in your thought life. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Now, real quick, go to my last scripture here is 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verse 18. Oh, yeah. The thought life is so powerful, I'm telling you. Why do you think I always talk about it? Why do you think? Because it's the crux of whether you're going to walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. 1 John 3, 18 through 21 here. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Here it is. Listen to this. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Man. Now, so this is written to Christians. So this is what I said, how Christians will bail out and they view the pruning process as a negative thing, right? But this is written, it says, this is telling us, it is possible for our own heart, our own soul, to falsely condemn or judge us. Listen to your heart. No, it's deceiving. Listen to your heart. No. Yeah, only if it's filled with the Word of God. Are you following me? So, and that's from having an unrenewed mind. Did you like my singing? Do you think I have a future in that? A second career maybe? No? Okay, I'll stay preaching then. The Word of God says that when we are walking in love toward God and man, we are profitable for the kingdom of God. All right? So how many of you feel useless to God or condemned, but you love Jesus, you're seeking him daily, you're pursuing a closer walk with him? If you're feeling condemnation while doing those things, your heart's trying to deceive you. That's where you need to override. That's where your spirit man, you need to let your spirit man say, heart, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. I love Jesus. I'm pursuing him. I want his plan in my life. Amen? All right? So, and now a lot of times that could stem from issues, maybe from an abusive relationship or childhood or, you know, whatever emotional wounds could spark some of those feelings, all right? That is why we need to walk by faith and put God's word over what you feel. We need to walk by faith and put what God's word above what we feel. Amen? Now, so that's the process. That's what I wanted to get to you today, is that the pruning process is essential. The pruning process is of utmost importance, and it is glorious. Amen? And so we need to just cooperate. Just cooperate. In fact, in your heart right now, just say, Holy Spirit, show me every dead and dying branch in my life. I want the dead and dying branches that are in my heart, in my life. I want them taken away. Everything that's sucking nutrients out, spiritual nutrients, that's going to places they shouldn't go. I want those things taken away so I can be fruitful, not just for myself personally, come on, but for the body of Christ as a whole. Amen. So church, right now, I want to encourage you to welcome, look forward to, and cooperate with that pruning process in your life. Because, like I said, it will continue until the day you take your last breath. And know, just know as you're cooperating, that we are being changed from glory to become the spotless bride of Christ on this earth. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on down. Maybe there's someone in this place. You haven't even begun the journey. You haven't even made Jesus Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Do not leave this place without making Jesus Lord of your life. And allow you, no, well, I've been too bad. You know, let me clean up my life before I make Jesus. No, hogwash. No, you come to Jesus and let him deal with you. That is just an excuse that the enemy's trying to feed you to stay away from Jesus. It's that simple. So if you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, come down and pray with one of our prayer partners today. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you heard this message. This is a call to a response to this message. Maybe you're realizing, wow, there are areas the Holy Spirit's been trying to get my attention. I haven't been paying attention to him, or I've been rebellious against him. If that's you and you feel led and you want to come and you just want to receive prayer, just tell the prayer partner. Just say, hey, you know, this message really spoke to me, and I want those dead and dying branches out of my life. So come up and pray with them on that, and if you want to rededicate your life as well. If you want the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. You want prayer for anything else, they will be here for you on that. Just to give you a little update on Kathy, the last update I had on Kathy Ark is that she's in hospice. Her breathing was getting shallower. Blood pressure was getting a little lower. So I don't know. I got to get an update after service, obviously. But just continue to pray for Chris. And we already know the Holy Spirit's ministering to Sister Kathy. Amen. So, you know, God's got this. Amen. Amen. It's sad. It's sad to lose a member, you know, a friend and a loved one and a member of the church. But, you know, she's going to her reward, you know. So, but we do need to gather around Chris, obviously, as well. Amen. All right. I guess Mary's going to be in the back in the war room to hand out the end of year giving statement. So before you leave, make sure you head into the war room. Have a great week. If you guys need me, I'm flueless. Flueless in Seattle, in Cairo. So, doing better. All right, I love you all. Have a great week. We'll see you on Wednesday.